So I started attending in the Old City also. Literally, when we stand, we see the cross of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre where the empty tomb is. So I came to the Alliance Church in 96, where I met Justo. That was the second best gift that God ever gave me. And so my profession now is I am a licensed optometrist, so I'm in the marketplace. I have a clinic, an optical store, also in the Old City of Jerusalem. And I'm an ordained pastor, pastoring two churches, one in Jerusalem and one in the Palestinian territories, the Palestinian area. So we live in a land where there is continuous struggle, the political struggle over the land. I don't know if you know this, since the times of Christ, Jerusalem changed 26 different political regimes. I mean, not political parties, I mean countries. It changed from the Roman to the Byzantine to the Muslim to a different sect of Muslims, to Tatar, to the Crusaders, Ayyubian Muslims, Mamluki Muslims from Egypt, and then the Ottomans, and then the Brits, and then the Israelis. So it was always a constant struggle. And you feel that there are many trends that want to push you each side. So that's what... So of course, as an Arab growing in the land, I learned that the Jews are my enemies. And that was one of the first things that God has to deal with me. Do I love them? I don't. And then the struggle began, and I had to choose all the time that God will shape me. So that's what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. We constantly face this challenge. Do we want to be changed by God? Or do we want to let the world change us? Because, I mean, if you throw something up, from the power it goes up. But it reached to a level where it starts going down, because there is, the gravity of the earth will pull it. There's no such a thing as, I'm a believer that is standing in my place. You know, this thing cannot stand there. There's no coincidences in the laws of nature. You cannot throw it up. As a coincidence, it was stuck there. No. There is a gravity that will pull it down. If you don't have the power to go up, the gravity of the world will pull you down. So that's what the Lord put on my heart this morning. I will share with you also my experience and how can we face this challenge all the time. The story I'm going to read is a very known story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to begin from Luke 10:25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You know, this man is a thinker, he's a lawyer. And these guys used to write for people, used to make verdict for people, to write them letters and to express your heart and your mind in writing. People didn't write. Not many people could write at that time. So he must have heard this teaching from Christ, because we know no one ever connected the first commandments, Shema Israel, you shall love the Lord your God from all your heart and all your mind and all your might. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Only Christ introduced this idea. Because everybody claims that he loves God. So Jesus connected the two to give us some practical test. Do I love God really? Okay, if you love God, can you love your brother or even your enemy, as he taught? So he must have heard it from Christ. You know, the closest teaching that the Jews had that is near this was the Rav Hillel. There were two schools of the rabbinic of the Jews at that time, Shammai and Hillel. Shammai was very legalistic, what to do, how to wash, how to do rituals. But Hillel had always taught the Jews what is your heart should be like, the spirit of the law, as they called him. He taught the spirit of the law. So he was talking about this first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God, and then say, don't do to others what you don't want the others to do to you. What some call the golden rule, it's not really the golden rule, but Jesus put it in the positive form. Do to others what you want the others to do to you. But anyway, so this teaching is the teaching of Christ, and this man heard the teaching. And he came to seek something else. Do I need to do something? Is it that simple? People think that to love your neighbor is something simple. It's not simple. In another occasion, someone came to him and told him, yeah, I know the commandments. And he ends up with, you shall love the Lord, your neighbor like yourself. They told him, okay then, sell all your possessions and give to the poor. He just applied it practically in his life. But the man is boasting, yes, I know this since childhood. We learned this in Sunday school. So anyway, then Jesus read this man very well and analyzed what is his need. And he shared this story with him. And with this story, Jesus broke three main religious ideas that this man has. And these principles are very important for us if we want God to change us. If we don't want to be just a product of this world like somebody else. We want to be following God. And we want God to use us to change the society around us and the world around us. So, and this man wanted to justify himself. So he asked him, who is my neighbor? And that became a controversial issue. Now the Jews, rabbinic Judaism today, the word ger, which is translated as neighbor. Now, in rabbinic Judaism, they say it's someone that became Jewish. He's someone from the nation that became Jewish. That's what they teach today. Lehitgayer means to become Jewish. And he has to pass many tests, and he has to prove that really he wants to follow Judaism. But it didn't mean that.
It just simply meant the non-Jews that are accepting to live under the covenant of God of Israel. So they changed it in order to make it easier for them to follow. It's like saying, love your enemies. And who is my enemies? It's just another Christian that is from Arkansas. And, you know, to make it easier. But it's not so. It's not. It was not supposed to be so. So Jesus shared this story. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho is the lowest point on earth, if you don't know this. Jericho is the lowest point on earth. It's the lowest city in the world. And fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, a Levite went, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, this lawyer, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him for the second time, go and do likewise. What do we learn from this story? It's a very strong story. You know, first thing, Jesus didn't like the question. When you ask someone, obviously he doesn't believe that Jesus is God. He believes maximum that he's a good teacher. When you ask someone, who is my neighbor? In other words, also, who is my enemy? It means that I am a product. I am a product. I don't think for myself. You just tell me, I follow. I want to follow the trend. I want to follow the cattle that is going. I don't need to understand why. I just want to follow. So I make myself a product. Product of the world. I'm an Arab. They teach me that the Jews are my enemies. So I follow. I don't know, do you have a certain people group here that you dislike, let's say, or I don't know the culture here, but do you have a certain people group that you don't like very much? I know that, the liberals in California, they don't like the Southern Americans very much. But imagine that there is a certain group that you don't like very much. I know all of you are angels, there isn't something like that. But let us imagine that this certain group you don't like. And you know, Jesus come and specifically give the good role to the most hated people or the most despised people group that you know. So let me make the story more understandable to our culture. Let's assume that I'm speaking to you now as good believers, and I tell you the story like this. A believer, a Christian, went and suddenly thieves stripped him off, took his money, and left him between death and life. Then a pastor passed by. He looked at him. He didn't do anything. And then a priest, Catholic priest, passed by. He didn't do anything. Then a fanatic Muslim saw him. He had mercy and compassion, and he took him, and he took care of him until he, you know, got better. How do you feel? It's very irritating. Why you are giving the good role to the Samaritan? Why? You know, we don't like these people. We don't like these people. So the first point here is that the world wants to shape us. The world wants to tell you how to get dressed, what to do. I want Snapchat. Why? Because everybody else has Snapchat. Okay? What do you want to do on Snapchat? What everybody else is doing on Snapchat. You know? I just do whatever the others are doing. The world wants to tell you that a pants that is cut, torn down, is the elegant pants. This pants is not elegant. Really. But I see the opposite. No. What you see is not true. The torn pants is the elegant one. Okay. I buy a torn pants. They want to tell you what is... The pants that is, uncovering one third of your rear end is the right fit for you. Are you sure? It doesn't look for me elegant at all. Yes, we tell you this is the right way, the right fit for you. You know, the world wants to shape us. And if we don't really let God change us, you know, one of the most important thing of faith, we talked about the parable of the sower this morning. Matthew put it in a very strange way. The difference between the first example for the seeds that fall on the road and the one that fall on the fertile ground is one difference. Those that heard the word accepted and did not understand. And those that accepted and understood. If you look at the explanation in Matthew, this is the difference. The meaning is you have to let God change your mind. In Luke 1:17, it talks about John the Baptist and his ministry. He says to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the disobedient to the wisdom or the mind of the righteous. The mind. Many times we accept the Lord, but we don't let the Lord change our mind. Also in Romans, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but renew your mind. So, the first issue here, do you want to be a product of the world? Or you want to be to join the manufacturer, the creator, and to create a new world? This is your decision. Every one of us has to take this decision. Young and old. Sorry, I didn't mean... The Lord is great, you know. He has use. He wants to use us in all the ages. I love it when he says to Joshua, you got old. But there is a lot of grounds that you did not get occupy yet. You are old. I will not be nice to you. I will tell you the reality. But I still have work for you. So the Lord wants us to live this every moment in our lives until the end when he tells us, you have been faithful servant and come into the joy of your master. Second, if I refuse to be a product, then God will be able to break every stereotype I have. Pride, racism. You know, racism is one of the three main factors of murder in life. That's what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, they told you do not kill. But I tell you three things. If you have anger on your brother, against your brother. Second, if you tell your brother Raka, which means that you are ridiculous. And that's, the first one speaks of hatred. The second one speaks of discrimination and dehumanizing someone else. And the third one is insult. Insult. These three factors in all history drove people to murder and to kill each other. And may the Lord really protect America. I remember, you know, Trump is not having an easy time. You know, people are ridiculing him all the time. I remember we passed this experience with Rabin, Israeli Prime Minister. And they were viciously attacked, ridiculing him, putting him in images that are very humiliating, and in the end, he was murdered. So may the Lord really bless America and protect whoever God ordained, you know, because God ordains the leaders of the land, whether we like it or not. So, Jesus wanted to break the stereotype of this man. If we didn't break our pride against, our prejudice against people groups, God will not use us. God cannot shape us. So not to be product of this world, but let the God really change us, to bring change to the world. The golden rule of Christ is, do to others what you want the others to do to you. You know, Mahatma Gandhi, the political reformer in the last century in India, picked on that and he said, be the change that you want to see in the world. It's the same golden rule of Christ. And he's famous with this, but that's exactly what Christ taught. If I want you to be polite, do to others what you want the others to do to you. It means that I should be the change that I want to see in her or in everybody else. So that's what God wants us to be active, to bring change to our societies, not to be product. Second, if we refuse to be products, God will be able to break stereotypes and prejudice against others and really give us heart and love for everyone. For everyone. So it's not an easy story for this wise man, because they don't like Samaritans. And that's what Jesus emphasized strongly in Acts chapter 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And Samaria. Because if you don't go through Samaria and you be delivered from your hatred to the Samaritans, which we saw also, I think, in Luke 9, or when they told Jesus, do you want us to ask that fire come from heaven and burn them like Elijah did? And then Jesus told them, you don't know which spirit you are speaking of. So Jesus emphasized the need to go through Samaria for the disciples to be able to break this hatred or prejudice or looking down at the Samaritans. Third, if we manage to refuse being products of this world and ask God to reform us and shape us, give us a new heart, then God will teach us how to love your neighbor like yourself. It's not a religious command. That's why the man didn't understand. It's not religion. It's the life of Christ in us. It's God's life into the world. Every time you choose to love, you breathe life into the dead situation. You breathe life. Really, literally. It's like a desert. When you choose to love, you pour water into the desert. And don't be shocked when you see fruits coming in. You have to understand that love is the life of God that fails after sin. That's why in the first epistle of John, he connects the murder of Cain, of his brother Abel, to hate. He connects them together. And he said, if you hate, you are a murderer. You plant death in the world. But when you love, you breathe life into the most deadly situation. And then you will see God in action. Because love moves heaven. That's what we saw in Stephen. When they were stoning him in Acts chapter 7, and he stood up and he took a stand and forgave the people that were stoning him. After that incident, we think that they had revival. But after that incident, there was not revival. There was explosion of the kingdom. First, we see that the kingdom of darkness went out of control. They started persecuting believers because they knew that they lost it. And we see that the disciples that were scattered, the kingdom of God were passing from city to city to city to city. And really the Lord used the disciples to fulfill Jesus' calling. You know, until then, they were settled in Jerusalem. They didn't want to move. But when you love, then you breathe life. It's very important for us to understand. And so when I follow God, I say no. The world doesn't decide for me. I let God decide for me. Because if you follow reality, you will be like swallowed by the reality around us. But if you don't believe reality, then God will change the reality. We used to pray every Wednesday morning in Mount of Zion. I don't know if you ever heard of this thing. There was a church there called the Dormition Abbey. It's a Catholic church. But we used to meet as believers, Jewish background believers, Arabs, and internationals. So one day, this Ethiopian pastor comes in. His name is Bril. He came in late, and he was shaking his head. We asked him, what's the matter? He said, God is amazing. I said, okay, we know. Can you tell us more? He said that he preached about a couple of months before the message about the mustard seed that we read today. If you have faith, you can tell the mountain to go and be dumped in the sea. There was an Ethiopian woman that was in her late 70s, illiterate, she doesn't read. She believed the promise literally. So she has a house, like an apartment on the bottom floor, like maybe 7 to 8 yards square, and in the middle there is a big rock. She started praying that God will take off the rock and throw it in the sea. And then the next week, on the prayer meeting, you know, the pastor asked, who wants a prayer? She lifted her hand, said, upon your message last Sunday, I started praying for this rock to disappear and to be thrown at the sea.
The pastor,
not this. I didn't mean that this is literal. You know what I mean? If you have a problem, if you have anything. You know, but in the Ethiopian culture, you don't say no or, okay, we will pray for it. And the pastor said he has zero faith that anything will happen, but let's honor her. And the next week, on Tuesday, the same thing. She would lift her hand. I'm still praying, you know, for this rock to disappear and to be cast into the sea. And the people, you know, what is the end of this story? And every morning she would open the curtain and look, the rock is still there. She really believed that God will remove the rock. So one day she comes, she said, you remember the rock that we prayed for? Yes, yes, of course you remember. Yes, the Lord answered, and it's not there anymore. What? Yes. How? He said that someone from the municipality knocked the door, and he said, we are doing a circle a few blocks away, and we need the rock. Would you sell it to us? So she sold the rock for 1,000 shekels, and the municipality redone her lawn very nicely with automatic, dripping system. They made her garden the most beautiful garden on their expense. So, and everybody was like, what? Okay, the Lord did not answer the way she was expecting, but the Lord could not stand still because of, it's a simple children's faith, and it's not based on right theology, but it's based on right understanding of God. So if you believe reality, you will be swallowed off reality. But if you believe God, in God.
Can
change. You know, that's why Jesus, in the end, he changed the question. The man asked him, who is my neighbor? And he said, who among the three became a neighbor? In the Greek, became a neighbor to the man. So your question should be, whom can I include? Or whom I can make a neighbor, a brother, a beloved, everyone. There is no boundaries before the power of Christ, the power of love. God can break all the walls, everything. There is no one that you cannot have access to because you work with the Creator. He knows all of us, and in his hand our hearts. He's the only one that can change hearts. So that's a challenge I put before all of us. Do we want to be product, just especially the young ones, to follow what everybody else is doing? Or do you want to bring change? If you want to bring change, we need to work with the Creator for a new reality and a new world. And then we'll experience the love of Christ that is so wide, so powerful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Lord, you did not just give us instructions. You live every word that you taught us. You taught us so much things, Lord. But you yourself were the greatest example of all that you taught. The cross was just an obvious end to all the teaching you taught us to break
all the world's understanding. If you want to be great, you should humble yourself. If you want to be first, you should be last. If you want to be greater, you should serve all the others. If you want to live, you should die yourself. If you want to be wise, you should be ignorant from all the wisdom, your wisdom and the wisdom of the world, and depend on the wisdom of God. All these things, Lord, you taught us and you lived it. And you showed it to us in yourself, Lord. Lord, we pray that you really help us this morning to really fill our hearts and our minds with this understanding, Lord. Lord, I pray for this county, Lord, Cherokee Village, that really you bless this area of America, Lord. Use this church mightily, that they may fulfill really the greatest commandment to love everyone like themselves, Lord. Lord, help us all to really be faithful and to let your changing our hand always work in us and in our lives, Lord. We don't want to be swollen into the world. We want to be used by your hand, your creative hand, Lord, your right hand, your just hand, and your kind, loving hand, Lord. Thank you. Give you the honor. In Jesus' name.